first one is receive the abundance of grace, and second is a gift of righteousness. And actually, the order of these two is really important for our natural concept. We often think that we need to receive the righteousness first, and then we can receive the abundant grace.
Right.
But for like the Lord's table meeting this morning, the symbol of the bread, breaking the bread and drink the cup, also illustrate that the order we receive with the body is broken first.
Amen.
And then it's the cup, it's the blood spreading. So in God's point of view, the bread broken is more important than the cup. So it's come first, which means that in God's eyes, He wants the body of Christ is His internal economy, His internal goal. So the redemption signified by the cup is not the original purpose of God, but it's given by God that we could be brought back to His original plan. So in Genesis, He created a human being, and he wanted a human being to represent Him, to be the kings. But we fail, right? Adam fails, so we cannot fulfill His requirement. So the cup, the redemption, is one means for God to bring us back to His original plan. But His original plan is not just redeem us; it's to make us His co-kings, to make us to reign the kingdom of God with Him. So I really appreciate that the Lord's table meeting really, really, really help us to remember what God's goal is and His redemption for us.
Amen.
And another point I want to point out is the small one under A. It says that in New Testament, all the believers are saved to be kings and priests. And second point is following is prophesying, speaking Christ into people, make us overcomers, and prophesying is a function of the overcomers.
Amen.
I'm really touched by this point that maybe we think that overcomers need to do this, need to do that, you need to shepherd people, you need to go to every meeting, you need to do a lot of things in order to be overcomers. But this point really, really encouraged me that the first thing we can do to become overcomer is to speak for Christ, speak Christ into others,
and
which is this meeting, the function of this meeting, prophesying meeting. And actually, the burden of the brothers in the message, he mentioned that prophesying, those who prophesy build up the church.
Right. Right?
In order to build up the church, in order to bring the Lord back, we need to stand up and speak His words to His people.
Amen.
And even in Ephesians 3:2, it says the stewardship of the grace of God, which He given to me and for you.
Amen.
Right? We all are steward of the grace of God. And the grace of God is given to me, given to us, and then for the church, for the God's people.
Yeah.
And in order to prophesy, we really need to labor on God's word.
Okay.
We really need to enter into the word day by day, so we can take root downward and then bear fruit outward. So this really reminds me that sometimes in the prophesying meeting, I didn't have much to say. I don't have much to speak. It's because I didn't bring something into the meeting, so that's why I didn't have something to say. So maybe we can just take, sometimes during our day, we just enjoy one verse, one paragraph in the morning revival, and we will have something to say, even just, 3 minutes, or maybe 1 minute sharing, that's good enough for God to build up His church. So I was so encouraged that we really need to have labor in God's word. Okay, I will jump to Romans 3. It says, in order for us to reign in life, to be the Lord's overcomers, we need to have this vision that we have been regenerated with a divine, spiritual, heavenly, kingly, and real life.
Amen.
And the Lord says, so it's the kingdom of God as if a man can sit on the earth. We need to be regenerated. Right? We need to be regenerated to be the king. Because if we want to be a king, we need to be the same life as God, right?
Amen.
We are His co-king, so we cannot reign in life by our natural life. We need this regenerated life.
Amen.
And point B, it says that He is the seed, the gene of the kingdom of God to be sown into God's chosen people that he might grow in them, live in them, and express from within them to develop into God's ruling realm. You know, the gene is also a really interesting point in this message. You know, gene, okay, for example, if you look at a twins, we cannot see the gene inwardly of those twins, right? Because it's inside their cells or something. Yeah. But from the outward expression, you can tell they are twins because their expressions, they are really similar. The same principle. If we share the same gene with God, with Christ, then our expression should be look similar, right?
Amen.
From people see the church, they can tell we are the expression of God.
Amen.
We share a similar gene. Amen. So I'm really touched by this. We really need to exercise our spirit to receive this regenerated life so that we can properly express Christ.
Amen.
Okay, let's come to day four, Roman numeral four. Experience to reigning life means to under the ruling of the divine life. It's also a very new concept to me because I usually thought that to reign is an active verb, right? To reign something, to rule something. But here, actually, to reign in life actually is a passive verb. It means to under the ruling, you rule by the divine life.
Amen.
So this example in the gospel, there's a centurion, right? The centurion, his daughter was dead, and he asked the Lord to save his daughter. But the centurion, when he talked to the Lord, he said, "I know you are the man under authority."
Right.
And actually, a centurion in our natural concept is the man of authority. But he knew that he's a man under authority, like the Lord. He's under authority of God's authority.
Amen.
So it's a perfect example that to be ran by the divine life. So in order to be a man of authority, first you need to be a man under the authority.
Amen.
So if we want to express God as a king to reign in life, first we need to be ran by his divine life. Another example in day four, it's Deuteronomy. You know, there's a lot of kings in the Old Testament, and some were good kings, some bad kings. And what's the big difference between good king and bad king is the good king, they follow the Bible. They read the Bible. They read God's words, right? So the verse 20 in Deuteronomy 17, so that he may not turn aside from commandment to the right or to the left. So for those kings who read the Bible, he will stay on the central line of God ordained, which make them the good king, right? So for us, in order for us to be made as a good king, a good co-kings, we need to read his word so we can stay on the central line.
Amen.
Okay, I've come to the last point on day six. So the consummation, if all the saints, all the church can practice, enter into this reality to be ruled by the divine life, the issue is a real and practical body life expressed in the church life. And what does that mean? In point A, it says that the body built itself up in love. Like Anna just shared from all the church in the world, we can see there's love in all the church, right? Without love, if we shepherd, if we prophesy without love, it will result in point B. We don't have Christ as love, then all our speaking is like sounding breaths and clanging cymbal, which gives sounds without life. So this is really practical for us. We want to build up the church. First, we really need to be regenerated and receive this divine life and be restricted, be limited, so that God can be properly expressed.
Amen.
And then we will be made overcomers, and the Lord can come back.
Amen.
So I will stop here, and because I have skipped many points, so hope that the sin can bring up the burdens throughout the message.
Amen.
It's a rich message, so maybe we can limit 3 minutes per person.
Yeah.
Okay, question.
Amen. So we see Romans 5:17 as a key verse this week. It talks about us, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, these ones will reign in life. And so actually I had this written down before this hymn was called this morning, but just these two lines, nevermore the law shall bind me, but by grace I'll live instead. So we are not those justified by our keeping of the law, but we're justified by our faith in Christ. This is the gift of righteousness, his judicial redemption. And then now we live by grace, which is a continual day-by-day experience of receiving grace from the Lord. And so, as those who aspire to reign in life, we must be under the rulership of the Spirit. And this is actually the highest standard. This is a higher standard than any code of conduct or book of regulations. And actually, what this means is that we would never grieve Him.
Right.
We would not grieve the Spirit. Although God is so big and we are so small, we actually hurt Him a lot because we don't know the ways that we grieve His heart. Yet we have His Word. And His Word works in us to enlighten us. In His Word, we see His heart and we also see our sin. And then the Spirit within us witnesses to the Word. And this is how we are ruled by the Spirit. And then, actually, I would just like to read it from the outline. The Word of God works within us, and the Spirit, through the Word, spontaneously dispenses God's nature with God's element into our being, causing us to be constituted with God. So it's a very simple application. May we spend more time in the Word this week.
Amen.
And so just like an overview of the week, there's Joseph's experiences and his dreams, a picture of Christ reigning in life. We see that love prevails. We see that this is a matter of life given to us in the kingdom seed. And we see that, like the kings, we should, in a sense, make a copy of the book of the law for ourselves. That is to really make the word our own.
Amen.
And just to conclude, there's lots of grace. There's grace upon grace. This makes us stewards of the very grace of God. This grace reigns. By grace we live, and God gives grace to the humble. So may we keep ourselves humble and lowly, so that very organically, even without noticing it, we are those reigning in life.
Amen.
I just want to, I don't know how I can say this, but you know, we're reading in the life study, you know, of the kings, and we see here, you know, it's mentioned the life of Joseph, right? And we see that all of these kings, okay, so we know that the kings of Judah, you know, they stood on the ground and they had the fundamentals of the faith. And we know that the kings of Israel did not, right? So based on the quote good kings were the ones who stood on the ground and had the fundamental faith. So that does apply to the church life today. We are the ones that are standing on the ground of the church and follow the laws given to God's people. But that does not make us overcomers. That's just the entrance. That's just like the fundamental. It's because we know that all of these kings, all of them, did evil in the sight of God. And the best one was Hezekiah, right? The Edens wrote there, you know. Hezekiah was supposedly the best one. You know, he knocked down all the high places, he restored this and that. But the Lord said, it says that he still kept something for himself. He had an interest for himself. And then in contrast, we see Joseph, you know, and I was considering, he says that Joseph, he didn't even, you know, he was sold. You know, his brothers sold him, they put him in a pit, and so he could, you know, in all his adventures in jail and everything, to eventually be the ruler of the whole earth next to Pharaoh, to be the one who would provide life for the children of Israel.
Right.
And he says, Joseph did not need to forgive his brothers because he never blamed them to begin with. He never blamed them. Like, so we... he knew that God had said, he said that God has sent him there. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save, to preserve life. So that he took God's will, you know, whatever happened to him, he just took it at face value that it was of the Lord.
Right.
You know, this morning we sang this hymn, It Is Well With My Soul.
Amen.
And the man that wrote that hymn was Horatio Spafford or something.
Right.
And he wrote this hymn,
right,
you know, after going on some trip,
yeah,
with his family and his four daughters.
Yeah.
And he lost his four daughters in you know, in the wreck. But eventually he wrote this hymn that even after losing his family and his wife was an invalid, he said, it is well with my soul, and that he would never ever complain about his lot. Whatever his lot was, you know, he would never complain, that he was the happiest of all. And so we see that Joseph was like this. He was happy. I can't imagine going through what Joseph did. So I really consider that this, you know, Brother Ed Marks, he opened this message and he said, nobody can, you know, get the Christian life is impossible. It's impossible to live the Christian life. Only one can really live this life, and it's our Lord Jesus. For that, we need to take him. And so I really consider, you know, just something that I'll share. Sorry.
Amen.
That Brother Tom, you know, left because his daughter, who's 31 years old, some of you know her, Rebecca, she had a stroke. She had a here in the head, a bleeding in the head, and that's a type of stroke. So he's leaving this afternoon for Texas, where she's at. And so we're just considering, you know, we can't ask why, you know, we can't, you know, we cannot ask why. We just have to say amen. But can we really say this the way that Joseph said it? Because the other hymn, he is faithful, right? The faithful one. He is faithful to transform us.
Right.
He is faithful to accomplish his purpose in us. And if that means that he has to take everything from us, can we say amen? Because ultimately, it doesn't really matter who dies or who lives. What matters is how much of Christ we gain. Can we truly, in our heart, in our being, really say amen to the Lord for having lost our entire family, for having lost everything that is dear to us?
Right.
I can't say that, and I don't answer that question, but that is, you know, that is the Christian life. The Christian life is losing everything and gaining Christ.
Amen.
Today's message is living an overcoming life. This is the first one. And then second point, by reigning in life. By reigning in life. So the Roman 1 and the Roman 2 is explaining how to live an overcoming life. And from 3, 4, 5, 6, 4 point tells how to live in reigning in life. Start from 3. I appreciate that David jumped to the 3. He after finishing 1, he did he jumped to 3. That's it. 3. Romans 3. In order to reign in order to us to reign in life, the key point is that we need to regenerate with a divine, spiritual, heavenly, kingly, and a royal life. How to live in life? Because you have that life. Same like a royal family. We have the same. We need to regenerate to have that divine, spiritual, heavenly, and the royal family life. Wow. That's the first point. You want how to reign in life? First, you gotta be in the family. Amen? You gotta be the regenerate, the royal family. The second one, the Roman 4, to be under the ruling of the divine life. The third one, you have to instruct them. Governor, ruler, say ruler again, and a control, very heavy word, control by the word of God. How to living in the this Zoe life? You need to control. You need to follow the instructor. You live the living the world. Amen? The last one, four. How? You also need to be under the rulership of the Spirit.
Right.
Remind against rule of the Spirit. I think I appreciate this recovery version. Really translate the really meaning of the Greek word basileo. They have two meanings. Why is reigning? Is the verb. Why is reigning? The other word is to be king. Even the Chinese, we have been fooled for a long time. He said, to be a king. Oh, wow. To teach you how to be the king. When the overcomer, we can be the four cities king. We can be a five city. You see these 4 points tell us. It's not to be training us to be a king. It's training us how to live in under ruling by the life.
Praise Lord. So yeah, I'm gonna continue about to say reign over the life. So again, life can be very practical. So I have no intent to downplay any of our spiritual fellowship. It's very important. It makes a distinct difference from a Christian and like a secular life. However, any spiritual thing, we have to find a touch ground. Let's do a very basic one. The dishes. Every family has dishes. It can be washed and organized and it can be in a mess. So, does it matter? Yeah, it matters. We need to have a proper attitude to get it organized. Right? And also, time management. We can get to a place like, yes, we're right. Yes, we get things done. But inside, we're full of stress. That's not a real life. That means you just were beaten in life. So we can try to tell the Lord, Lord, teach us to manage our time. We get there. We not only get there. We get there with our inside is in peace and we are in manage. So down to the other practical point, we need time to rest. It doesn't mean we keep running. Even for the spiritual things, we are very godly. Sometimes we just need to lie down, fully rest, because we are human beings. If we are tired, we are more in our flesh, regardless of how we're willing to be in spirit. Last, I want to say example. Yesterday, young people meeting. We ask them, there is questions, 50% is practical questions. So I don't say the spiritual question. The practical that they raised are very, very good. One asked, I have a math problem. One asked, I need to select in my high school. How do I make the selection? One said, I'm so excited to go to a trip to Europe. A new country, but how I can make sure I'm be safe. And the other girl said, I need to pick between advanced calculus B and C or only A and B. To me, these are very good questions. Remember, we are a big family. No question is too small or too trivial or too cellular. It all can bring to Christ. The Christ can use everything to make a man. And they make use of very, very detailed or even trivial things to make a good Christian man and a woman. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I also touched with Joseph's story. I don't know if I would have forgiven my brothers and sisters if they would have done that to me. Usually people say, even my wife, I know sometimes she forgave me many times, but I don't think she forgot what I did, you know. So, and usually that's our natural thinking, right? I forgive you, but I will not forget. And Joseph actually reigned in life because he followed the divine life. And sometimes we want to say, oh, should I do my master's? Should I do my PhD in this school? You know? But the Lord had other plans for you. He said, no, you're going to do something else. But, you know, that thing of restriction and limited that I was reading here, you know, it says, practice the restriction limited in the divine life. A life under the kingdom rule is a life of righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. So we don't like to be restricted. We don't like to be limited. Especially when you're on your journey. When I was young, I didn't want that. I didn't want to be restricted and limited. I want to do everything. Yeah? But we need to really, like Joseph, in the divine life, we need to be restricted. You know? And I learned that the hard way. The Lord showed me that the hard way. I mean, I learned the hard way. He showed me the sweet way, but I learned the hard way. And, you know, I don't know how many years you got to live to understand, to learn. You know, sometimes our kids need to learn the hard way. But what the brothers, Joseph's brothers, many evil, it was good for God's plan and will. So we really need to be in the Lord's divine life, to really be in His guidance. It says here, Joseph was fully under God's guidance. See, he didn't really regret. He really didn't, you know. He said, brothers, don't get upset with yourself. Don't worry, because that was God's plan to bring me here to Egypt. You know? So sometimes we get upset with ourselves because we say, oh, I wanted to do this. I wanted to take this class. Or I wanted to do this. I wanted to go to that school, but I couldn't. I mean, once we are already in the boat, you can't get out. If the Lord is going to bring you this way, you can't. You don't try to go that way. Because you're going to fail many times. You're going to struggle. You know, and that I say that for myself, my experience. And the Lord want to bring me this way, and I was going that way. That's why I struggle a lot. I suffer a lot, you know. We just need to trust Him because His faithfulness is great. He's very faithful. And He watched for us. Trust me, I should be dead. I say that to you many times. My job is a risky job. I should be dead by now many times. But the Lord saved my life so many times. Even when I was a kid, a truck, I'm going to say this. When I was about, I think, 12 or 10 years old growing in South America, a truck passed through my leg. Through my feet. I fell down, I don't know how, but a big truck passed through my feet. I couldn't die. But then I said, when I go back, I said, I know what He said. I know what He said. To save others through Christ Jesus, to try my life. So, you know, just trust Him. And pray, and let the divine life restrict us and live.
Amen.
You'll be reigning with Him.
Amen. I really enjoyed today's sharing and the healing. One of the hymn centers, the hidden hymn, is that Lord is our strength today and hope for tomorrow. And if we want to reign life, then we can't. We cannot live a life by sin, but we have to live a life by not sin. Because we live a life by sin, so all the, you know, environments and everything will struck us down, because we won't have hope for tomorrow. But that's why our Christian life, we need to live by faith, because we need to trust in the Lord. Even everything we see is not that, you know, satisfactory, is full of, you know, disappointment, but we still have a faith in the Lord, because the Lord already promised every good promise in the Bible to us. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy to say. We need to work day by day and step by step, and especially by prayer. Actually, for a long time, I'm not really, you know, interested in prayer, because I have to be a friend. Most of the time after prayer, I don't see things change a lot. So that's why sometimes I just say, okay, there's no difference between pray or not pray. But recently, Lord just showed me, shine. The prayer, the most important thing about prayer is not Lord change things. for the Lord will change you by this prayer. That's the most important significance for this prayer. Yeah, you will be changed after you pray a lot with the Lord. The Lord will change your person from, you know, very deep inside. And also, if the Lord always changes things by your prayer, then why we have faith, right? Because, you know, it's so easy. Yeah, the faith is built on what we can see.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate. And also another significance about prayer is after praying a lot, our distance, you know, will be shorter with the Lord. We have more intimate relationship with our Lord. So I really need to pray every day because without prayer, I don't think I can survive. So I really appreciate our church life. And we don't only pray to the Lord. We can pray with our companions.
Amen.
We can support by each other. We have you know, a lot of saints around us.
Amen.
Very nervous having stood up, but so growing up, there were a lot of times I felt very powerless, and so going into college, I wanted to study political science because I wanted to understand power and the way people reigned over each other and the way that people asserted authority over each other. And this to me was like the most important question I could think of, like how do people influence power over one another. And so for me, I always considered power as having the authority, to the ability to control your outcome. And so coming into the church life and like hearing, oh, we need to reign, we're going to reign as co-kings of Christ in life. I always thought, wow, that means that when we are in the New Jerusalem, I will have the power to say, no, this is wrong, right? Or this is right, or just whatever. It's a very shallow view. But this was just always in my head and in my heart until this week. And then I saw, and I was very impressed with the fact that, oh, Lord, I just lost a day. But in day four, right, it says that actually reigning in life is Christ, is Him reigning in life in us.
Amen.
When I saw this, and I've seen this in the ministry before, but I really appreciate how actually this week they brought it out. And so I was considering, this doesn't really feel like reigning or authority to me. This just feels like exerting someone else's authority, someone else's life. Like, where is the reigning here? And then I really appreciated afresh that at first in day one it says, actually, you know, we reign by the abundance of grace in us.
Amen.
Like this abundance of grace is the life that is within us that allows us to reign. But also I remember a picture that I heard at a conference so long ago where actually, you know, Christ is on a throne within us. And so He is exerting His reigning and His authority and His life in us. And so to reign in life not just means to have the authority to speak and to, you know, control other, or not control, but, you know, to exert authority over others. And actually it says in, you know, the eldership, right? When, you know, whereas become elders, they need to reign in life, you know, in that way so that they can, you know, have authority in the church life over the saints, right? And they can really exert God's authority. But first, this authority, this reigning has to be in us. There needs to be a kingship within us. And this can only be achieved through the abundance of grace.
Amen.
And so I was just so appreciative that this week, that my view and my concept is uplifted.
Amen.
That actually this reigning and this authority is not just, you know, my having power to control the outcome of the things around me. Because this is a very fleshly view. But actually, how precious it is that our reigning in life is the abundance of grace.
Amen.
Something that we enjoy. Something that we experience within us, right? And oh man, I was going to go somewhere else. I like had like a whole other, but like this reigning within us is from Christ. And so, you know, I was appreciating afresh that to be overcomers. And actually, you know, I mean, I don't have authority over it. I'm not an elder, obviously. But, you know, we have authority over the ones around us, right? Even, you know, our peers, you know, even the example we set for those who are younger than us. And I've definitely stumbled some of the younger brothers by not reigning in life. And actually our living and our testimony is a kind of authority I've learned really, really, in really, really solid terms. Our living, our testimony, the way we speak, the way we act, this is authority. And if we don't have this reigning within us, then we're not expressing Christ's life and we're not expressing His authority. And in the same way, you know, one day, you know, I might, you know, still be serving, or I will still definitely be serving younger saints. I might even have children. And so my day-to-day living, my reigning, right, my authority over others will come. And it will be a question of how much of this life, this abundance of grace, I have within me, within the throne in me. I know that went long, but I just, yeah, amen.
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 Being an overcomer, building up the body of Christ, everything sounds so amazing. And, you know, we feel like we can just, you know, sometimes just proclaim that we want a reigning life. But actually, on my experience this week, was a lot of the speaking from the Lord in my times with Him, whether I was doing dishes, whether I was, you know, just in myself, even just having my own personal time, the Lord just really spoke to me. You want a reigning life, but do you have a living of one who reigns in life? I was so touched by the portion of Joseph. And, you know, I also see myself like, would I have been able to do what he did? After, you know, especially I'm a person that growing up, my mom would say I'm like a match. You know, something rusty, right away I get lit up. So I feel like I wouldn't be able to personally, you know, let that slide. But when we live a life that is reigning in the Lord, I feel like we desire to have that limitation. The Lord is able to work Himself in us. And by reigning in life, we first need to realize that we're not the authority, but we are one who is under authority. And when we are under authority and we just humble ourselves and seek the Lord, you know, be before His face, then He gives us that reigning power. But one word that spoke to me throughout the week was love. And we see in day six, it says that when we are reigning in life, living under the ruling of the divine life, the issue is the real and practical body life. And Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom all the body being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply and to the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. And I was really caught up with the word love. So here in the outline, we see that the speaking was saying that in order to grow, right, into the body of Christ, we need to minister Christ in love. And I was like, but what is this love referring? But this love means it's the love of Christ in us. But we also see that, you know, do we really love? Because I feel like I don't love enough. And maybe it's because I'm trying to love out of my own love, whether to love the saints, whether to love this service, whether to love coming to the meetings or not coming to the meetings. But I realize that it's not because it's the Lord's love, but it's my love. But we see that in order to be reigning in this life, in order to build up the body of Christ, to bring the Lord back, love must be the one that the sins the most. If we love the Lord with His love, then the Lord will increase His love in us, and we will really hold the truth, speak Christ, minister Christ, being kept from the influences of the world, of the winds of teaching, and bringing in anything that is not Christ. So may we really have a time with the Lord where we just open our being to the Lord and really ask Him, is this my love or is this your love? So I was just another addition, really. The Samaritan woman at the well, we see that she had many husbands, but the Lord, you know, when she asked, where's the one, you know, like you have so many. I feel like it's the same thing in a marriage life. You love the one person, so we should not have other loves. And when we take the Lord as a real love and as a real enjoyment, then He, as the triune God, flows as a river of living water to fill our thirst, that we can continue to love Him even more.
Amen. Yeah, I really enjoyed day 4 and 5, and it really like echoes everyone sharing. Yeah, it talks about like how you know, we need to be under the ruling of the divine life, right? And I realized like how in day 5, when it mentions like Joseph, and when he was like around his brothers, right, he was like in an exciting situation, right? But, you know, and as a human, he was full of sentiment, right, as we all are. But because that he was under the ruling of the Spirit, you know, he did not display any looseness. He did not display this excitement. And yeah, I just feel like, you know, it's just like when we're not under the ruling of the divine life, you know, it's very easy for us to be in our natural disposition. And then when we're in our natural disposition, you know, there's a lot of things we tend to do because we can do it. A lot of things we tend to say because we can say it. And even just a lot of things we tend to think because we can think it. But, you know, when we're under the, you know, ruling of the divine life, you know, it really discerns, you know, what's of life and not of life, you know. And, you know, it's just even in a situation, you can just feel what you're doing. Is the sense of life increasing within me, or is it decreasing? Am I experiencing death and dryness? I was just really touched by that, and how you know, when we have this sense of like of desiring the increase of life, right? We desire to be under the ruling of the divine life, and you know, in order to have to really be a pattern to lead, you know, to be a pattern to lead the saints, right, in the church life, you know, we need to be willing to submit under to this kind of ruling in order to have the authority to be a pattern to lead the saints. Because this kind of authority, as Peter mentioned, is not in our natural concept where you dictate what happens, but it's merely just a matter of ministering life. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, so it's just that we need to be, you know, in the Word and saturated by the Word in order to administer life to the people around us, and in order for others to be to have God's nature dispensed into others, and for them to be filled with God's elements and be constituted by God. Amen.
Amen. I'll probably share briefly before you go. I think this matter of eternal life, you see, is crucial and it's important. I was enjoying from Titus that even God the Father, you know, in eternity past, He promised God the Son that He would give life, this eternal life, to the believers. And this life that we've received is not merely something that saves us from death, you know, from eternal perdition. But actually, this life is what enables us to express God and to reign as kings. And so, from this verse in Romans 5:17, we see that what does it mean to reign in life? Right? In order to reign in life, we need to be ones who are receiving the abundance of grace. Right? Day by day, you know, in a practical way,
right,
we can come to the Lord. Right, come to Him to receive grace. The Lord here is here
waiting for us to come to him and to enjoy him, all that he is, and especially in his word. The word, it really supplies God as life. It's God's element to us. And this will really have a effect on our daily living. And so the word also becomes a source of vision to us, right? We see with Joseph, he saw this dream, and this dream directed his living and his behavior. And so when we come to the word, you know, the Lord has a way to show us the visions, right? And then these would have an effect on our living. I'll just share one quick testimony. When I was in college, this was something that struck me and stuck with me till this day. Growing up, I was just constantly, you know, always in confrontation with people, and especially my brothers. So it's interesting, you know, Joseph, he had brothers. But one day I was reading the word, and the Lord touched me, and he was able to show me who I was, right? And that I had now become a child of God, and that there was a certain way that I needed to live. And so I just thank the Lord, because he really supplied me with a grace, just even today, to overcome many things. I'm just testifying this because it is really real. I grew up a lot just, you know, with anger, you know, just like what was mentioned with Joseph. You know, he overcame his anger, and you know, me and my brothers, we would constantly go at it all the time. You know, we would fight. But when I started enjoying the Lord, I noticed a difference in my living. And I was one who was able to properly express the Lord. And so may we be the ones who receive the abundance of grace, so that we may reign in life over all things.
So I'd like to save some time. This week, of course, is the end of our crystallization study of 1st and 2nd Kings. And so I think some of the saints mentioned, actually here in these books of history, it's a real help to us. Because in these books, we saw the kings and how they lived, how they conducted themselves, how they acted. And we're helped to see, actually, God, he cares for the small details in our lives. And we need to pay attention to this. And so when we come to this last message on living overcoming life, actually this overcoming life, I would say, is in the small details. The details of our day-to-day living. And I was really struck, there's a lot of practical ways for us to live this overcoming life, and some of the saints mentioned already. First of all, it starts with the kingdom seed, right? Upon regeneration, we receive this kingdom seed into us, and this kingdom seed has all the genes, right, for it to grow and for it to mature, and eventually there's a certain expression, right? But the key word here is we need to cooperate. We need to cooperate with the seed, just like in Matthew 13. We need to make sure there's no rocks, there's no thorns. Is our heart hardened due to the worldly traffic? Then the seed cannot grow, and it cannot manifest itself as the kingdom. The second thing is the word, right? Weren't you so impressed that the kings, right, they had to write out, right, the word, the Pentateuch? And so in the same way as the believers, we need to have a personal relationship with the word of God. We need to be reconstituted with the word. And just like our brother shared, through this word, it will bring to us the heavenly vision. The last thing, and this is really, I feel like this is my burden, and this is what a lot of the saints shared on, is this matter of the ruling of this divine life. And I was struck. There was this word here. What is it? What is the ruling? It means that we are under. We are under what? We are under the rulership of the Spirit. And this, actually, in its fine details, what does it mean? And some of the saints brought this out. We are under the limitations and the restrictions of the divine life. This is what it means to be under the Spirit's rulership. And so someone mentioned, you know, actually, we don't like to be under anything. Right? We're in the United States of America. We have freedoms. But if we want to be an overcomer, right, live this life and to reign in life, we need to learn how to be under the rulership of the Spirit. And I was just so struck by Joseph's story once again. And there's these two points, two aspects of Joseph's living that I want to bring out today that made a really deep impression to me this week. Number one, Joseph, he recognized God's sovereign arrangement. Actually, he realized it was God's hand that was upon him all of his life. And we know his story, right? For him to go through all of these things, and at the end of his life, he made this statement, God intended it for good, right? And the New Testament application is Romans 8, right, 28, that all things work together for good, right? So Joseph, he realized that actually the people that were placed around him, his family, oh, his 11 brothers, in the ministry, it used the phrase, God's helpers. Brothers and sisters, do you realize your arrangement, the ones who are around you, they're all God's helpers to train us so that we could eventually one day become co-kings with Him, right? And so this is not so easy because, you know, we're so used to experiencing Christ in the mountains. But in Deuteronomy 8, right, we see the water brooks, the fountains, right? It's flowing, not just in the mountains, but also in the valleys, right? So when we are in the restrictions, right, when we're in the limitations, are we able to experience the Christ that is there, right? And I feel like this really needs to be our experience. And then the second aspect of Joseph's life I want to point out is, you know, in his arrangements, he really learned to enjoy the presence of God. In Genesis 39, when he was, you know, brought into Egypt, in the verse there, it says, Jehovah was with Joseph. That touched me so much. I mean, you just consider, right? His brother sold him off to slavery. Here he was in a foreign land. He had this dream. Actually, he was just being a good kid, right? His dad told him to go visit his brothers, and now he's in Egypt. So if you're in that situation, how would you feel? But in this time, in this environment, it says Jehovah was with Joseph. You could replace Joseph with your name. So brothers and sisters, isn't this a comfort that whatever environment we're in, whatever restriction, limitations we're suffering, Jehovah is with us. And we need to learn to enjoy His presence. We need to learn to contact Him. Right, to be full of this grace. There is an abundance of grace. But many times we forget Jehovah is with us. And you know, actually in that story, that's not the only time that phrase, Jehovah is with Joseph. Eventually, because of Potiphar's wife, he finds himself in prison. And I was fellowshipping with David last night. This is just like, you know, it's like you're in Egypt. Not only you're in Egypt, now you're in a prison in Egypt. It's like just when you feel like things cannot be any worse in your life, now you're in this dungeon. Doesn't that happen in your life? You reach the end, and it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. But guess what? Jehovah was with Joseph. This word was a real comfort to me, because this week, I'm still learning to be a king, a co-king. I've had my failures, right? I felt like, oh, the whole day. But then at the night, oh, there's just something, right? That just, anyways, I failed. It was a failure. And so this word is for all of us, right? To realize that God is really with us. And we are here. We're learning, right, to enjoy this grace that is able to meet every situation and to meet every demand. There's another verse that I enjoy this week was Genesis 49:22. This is Jacob's blessing of Joseph. It says, Joseph was a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a fountain. Brothers and sisters, we are here by a fountain. We need to learn to enjoy the Lord in the valleys and in the mountains. And then it says, its branches, I think it says, it spreads over the wall. That means that the life that is within us is able to overcome all of the restriction, all the entanglements, all of these things, the walls in our life, right? This branch, this branching out of Christ's life is able to work out for good. And so, anyways, this is really a picture of the overcoming life, this reigning life. And may we learn, right, to number one, recognize God's sovereign arrangement in every single aspect of our life, and two, learn to enjoy Him, enjoy His presence in every circumstance, so that we could learn to be the co-kings reigning with Christ in life. Amen.
This week, we ended with the crystallization study of these two kings. And since we must remind it, what does it mean by crystallization study? We're not merely to study the Old Testament. We have to see the significance of this crystal in these two books was revealed. It's through these two books of Kings, it revealed God's economy. God's economy, this term, we may be very much familiar. But when we say it revealed in these two Kings, that means God desired to have a group of people. Who were the people of Israel? And they will become his habitation on the earth. And God will rule them. Well, my burden this morning is, as we know what happened, what the pitiful history of the kings, how about us? I'll ask all of us today, saints, do you know who you are? In the New Testament, it pretty much tells us that we are king. Do you realize you are born with king? So we have this king life. Whether you are baby kings, you are mature king, it doesn't matter. I want to tell you today, we have this king life. We are the God species with God's life. And God will do everything with this life in us to accomplish his economy. So forget about your condition. Forget about my condition. I want you to pay attention to see who you are. The verse we just read, Romans 5:17, right? And we mentioned about reigning. You have to pay attention in the
the first part. Then reigning is pointing to that death. Right? You say because of offenses of one. So the death will bring. If there's no death, there's no need of reigning. So then reigning is pointing to that death. If we are going to learn to reign in life, you have to see the only place doesn't have death is in our mingled spirit. Besides our mingled spirit, everything is death. It's just because you don't have that consciousness, so you cannot sense that death. So really, to reign life, you must grow into this life. So you can fully reign when you are mature. So if you understand this, then I don't need to tell you how you should behave. I don't need to tell you. Because this life within you will tell you whether you're living in the brother's house, how you deal with the brothers. By what way? By elders telling you? That's a fallen concept. It's by what? By the life, the king life, live within you. And you know how to live with your brothers. Similarly to the sister house. Why we have problem with brother's house and sister house? Why? Because we don't live according to this life within us. How about family life? Right? With your spouse. Why we have so many quarrels? Argument. We don't live this life.
Right.
Lately, the Lord just remind me, even how I talk to the press today in my house, I need to exercise. The Lord just touched me. You cannot just rebuke them. According to my taste, according to the kind of a temptation. I have to be restricted. No! They are even God's creature. I have no right to rebuke them according to my kind of a concept. Oh, I was repenting. Even the word that I choose to use, I gotta be careful. Mm-hmm. People may not know, but the one within you, within me, will touch you. That's why since first. Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. You know what it says? Do you not know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? If you realize you have God dwell in you, then you are the man with God. You will change. Children, you also have God's life. How you talk to your parents, you must learn to obey this life in you. Parents, how we talk to our children, also the same thing. I must be regulated by this life. And it's by this the Lord in his economy. And he will rule. Now, heaven rules, but one day, he will rule on earth.
Right.
And may the Lord rule us today, while we are still on earth.
Amen.
Can us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
to be under the divine will of your life.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Lord, that you have shown us that vision.
Amen.
Oh, we need to live a strict and living in that divine life.
Amen.
Oh, help us to forget and forgive and forget.
Amen.
Oh, we want to live in this divine life.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Abundance of grace.
Amen.
Oh, the gift of righteousness.
Amen.
And we can reign in life.
Amen.
Through the one Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, we want to keep turning to you, Lord.
Amen.
Exercising our spirit.
Yes.
Oh, enjoying the oneness with you.
Amen.
In all the situations.
Amen.
In all the details of our ordinary daily living.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you have mercy on us.
Amen.
Keep turning us every day.
Amen.
Lord, keep turning us every day.
Amen.
Lord, keep turning us every moment.
Amen.
Lord, no matter is so small.
Amen.
Lord, we like to be those who reign in life.
Amen.
Lord, to see that everything else is death.
Amen.
Lord, we like to just be in you completely and constantly.
Amen.
Lord, save us from our natural concepts.
Amen.
Lord, save us from having any independence.
Amen.
Lord, we like to just reign in life.
Amen.
Lord, increase the sense of life in us.
Amen.
Lord, we want to be under this ruling.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, just to have the discernment.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, just to have the sense of life.
Amen.
During our ordinary days.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your presence in all the authority arrangements.
Amen.
Thank you for all the bountiful supply.
Amen.
Lord, help us to all reign in life.
Jesus, we pray for Tom's family, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, have mercy on her, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, bring his brother safe to see his daughter.
Amen.
Oh, have mercy on his daughter, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, this is me to gain you, Lord.
Amen.
He can come to you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, mercy, Lord.
Amen.
He can come and reign in life with you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
To strengthen our brother.
Yes.
Physically.
Yes.
Even intensify his spirit.
Yes.
Giving enough grace and strength.
Amen.
While he on the way flying to Texas.
Yes.
Lord, be with him.
Yes.
Right. Oh, Lord. Yes, to be with our brother.
Amen.
Oh, be with him there.
Amen.
All the way back.
Amen.
Oh, may your presence be with him.
Amen.
Oh, pray for abundance of grace.
Amen.
Oh, for this whole family.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Great in life.
Amen.
Oh, in the situation, Lord.
Amen.
Cover the entire trip.
Yes.
Cover in body, soul, and spirit.
Amen. Thank you.